welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're throwing a party because Ding Dong, Franz is gone, and soap killer Jill Farren Phelps is out, and Frank Valentini and Ron Carlovati are in at General Hospital. All this and the latest B&B, Y&R, One Life to Live, and Days of Our Lives hot topics, so stay tuned. Welcome.
Hey.
Jillian, welcome.
Hello.
Mel, welcome.
Hey, hey.
Jamie, Brian Franz is out at ABC Daytime, or what will soon be renamed. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, this is like if Cinderella finally got to the ball, only by that time the pumpkin had started to rot. And she found one of the ugly stepsisters blowing the prince. It's basically...
How dare you?
I mean...
Defile my Disney
memories. I'm happy, very happy that Franz is gone. That he, quote-unquote, stepped down, a.k.a. they told him, you ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell out of here. But, you know... Will it be any? I mean, hell, mission accomplished, fait accompli. I mean, you know, the soaps are dead. GH is hanging on a prayer, and now, you know, he's gone. Here's hoping that will give, I don't know, GH some semblance of a chance, because, you know, yeah, everyone talks about how Franz favored GH, but. He loved soaps to death. Yeah, you know, I've always heard that Franz did like soaps, but his kind of love, that's Ike and Tina love. That's toxic love. So, you know, I mean, it doesn't bode well for soaps at ABC, period, you know, because all of the executives that are coming into power, all are reality execs. So I don't expect any
lifestyle.
Yeah. I don't
know. Not so rich or famous.
I don't expect there to be, you know, a mad rush to start, you know, pitching soap operas. But, you know, I mean, I'm still happy because I love the fact that all of the trades are now finally bringing up the fact that he destroyed ABC Daytime. So maybe this will hinder his chances to get other jobs. Because
notice that ABC loves to go to the mainstream press for everything. ABC Daytime, them silly-ass PR people like to go to the mainstream press. And everybody in the mainstream press has slaughtered Franz
for
what he's done. You know, my boy Damien said it best on Facebook. He goes, after slaughtering all my children and one life to live, their killer walks free. I was like, you said a mouthful, darling, with that right there.
Yeah, well, for once, though, usually when they run these executives changing the guard stories, they try to, you know, not even mention what they did wrong. But they, you know, everyone from the LA Times to the New York Post to Broadcasting and Cable to all of these other publications have brought up that he is the man responsible for destroying the ABC soaps. So that right in and of itself is good. The new exec, Vicky Drummer, all of her cred is pretty much... She has a lot of cred with scripted comedy, which that did kind of make me go, well, Ron Carlovati is definitely a dramedy writer, so if he gets over there in time to get GH really funny again, you know, maybe she'll appreciate it some, because... You know, Lord knows it's not funny now with, you know, with heroines dying of AIDS and you know, dead women tantalizing Aussie street punks and all the other stuff that show has going on. And that's my, you know, a lot of people have pointed out, you know, jumping on over to the Frank and Ron thing, that it's a little bit of deja vu with Lorraine Broderick, being brought in and Agnes brought back, you know, we all, oh, Lord Jesus, you know, they're going to save all the cheering. But, you know, at the end, it was basically
found the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, it was similar time frame. And in the end, what they did is write a satisfying ending to All My Children. Could that be what's happening here? Very much so. I mean, nothing has changed in terms of Katie Couric is still a coming, and they are shedding a time slot back to the affiliates. So, best case scenario, GH's ratings spike, and the ABC decides to scrap.
Keep them for one more year.
Well, to scrap either. They'll have to decide to scrap the Chew or the upcoming Revolution because there are not enough time slots. I mean, they're giving GH's current time slot away. So GH's best bet would be to try to get the one vacated by the Revolution. I mean, by One Life to Live, which already has the Revolution headed for that. And I don't know. I mean, the Revolution would probably have to tank for that to happen because the Chew is already starting to match All My Children's numbers despite our best efforts to derail it.
Well, and I was talking with a friend who isn't an online soap fan, and she goes, I don't want to admit this, but she says, but I'm enjoying the Chew. And I said, that is heresy. But it's like if soap fans who aren't necessarily the online community are watching it, then
yeah, I'd say about 10% of soap fans are the ones that come online. You know, a lot of people try to minimize it to much lower numbers, but I think a good 10%, which, you know, I think that's the core diehard fans. But yeah, a lot of people have no allegiances to soaps. They might watch them, but they're not, you know, they're not like us. So yeah, I mean, people are watching the Chew. And, you know, if you had no issue with the whole All My Children factor, I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, The View took the place of loving the city. I mean, of the city, you know, the loving slash the city clone thing. Yeah. And I loved The View from day one, you know, and even though I liked the city. So, I mean, you know, some people don't have those loyalties or cares or concerns. So, you know, and the Revolution, I'm just hoping because we see from OWN that I think people are sort of having there's a little bit of a backlash against these self-helpy, live your best life type shows right now because those shows, they're indulgent and okay when the economy is doing well because there's a
when
lot
everybody
of,
has money to live
yeah,
their
there's
best
a lot
life.
Of time for soccer moms to sit around and think about the meaning of this or that and what living their best life and all that jazz is. But right now, people are just trying to keep their lights on, and they want to be entertained by TV. We're seeing that with Revenge in prime time and Once Upon a Time. This is a time, and it harkens back to when Erna Phillips created the soap opera. It was during the Depression when people just wanted to be entertained. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be taught a lesson every day, 5 days a week, 52.
I'm saying, I went to school and I got a mama. I don't need you to teach me all that. Oh,
you know, I love Oprah, but I watched that Oprah's Life class about one and a half times, and I'm like, I don't want to go. Every night.
Oh, the moment I heard the commercials for that, I was like, there is no way in hell. I mean, it basically sounded like the episodes of Oprah that I skipped.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to go to school every night, Oprah. Shit. I'm at home, you know, I want to stand out. And that's like with this Revolution. I'm looking at it, and I try to look at it like, I'm like, okay, would I watch this if I didn't have an affinity for soaps? And I'm like, I'll be honest, I'm not a foodie, but you know, I could see why if I wasn't, you know, had there been no All My Children slaughtering, I'd end up watching The Chew before I would The Revolution simply because, like, they'll have a guest I might like. And that's like how I watch Rachel Ray. Mm-hmm. I don't really watch to see her yell and scream about how good that pasta is because she'd be acting like she having an orgasm over it. Whoa!
But you watch for the Kardashians to pop up.
No, I'm over them. But no, but you know, if, you know, like I saw that
your calendars, folks.
Marley Matlin is on the Chew. So yeah, if I wasn't, you know, boycotting it because of All My Children, I could see myself tuning in to see what kind of food she likes. But I don't ever see myself wanting to watch the revolution. I do not. I can't stand
the commercial. It's depressing. I thought I was like, Jesus.
Overweight person. I'm sorry. I find most of these shows, except for The Biggest Loser, because it's a competition, and I like that, that you get to see the fat people scheme against each other to win. But nothing angers me more than seeing a bunch of skinny bitches shaming fat people into, you know.
All right, Joy Behar.
Watch that for an hour. You make them cry. You're just, your life is being held back because you're fat. And we're going to come on in here and Tim Gunn is going to put you on some clothes and dress you up, you big
Ty Pennington's going to scream at you.
Yeah, and Ty Pennington's going to extreme makeover you, you big fat whore, and we're going to make you better. I'm like, back to Oprah. Oprah was a big ass motherfucker when she shot to the top of the Nielsen ratings. In fact, a lot of statistics showed when she lost all that weight, the numbers went down. When Oprah's ratings are equivalent to her size. When Oprah was a 300-pound heifer, them ratings were through. So that obviously it didn't stop her. She didn't need Tim Gunn to make her cry. And, you know, so I don't, you know, who cares about
you
that?
Know, well, speaking of heifers, Jillian, what did you think of Jill Farren Phelps being out?
Yes, I shook my tambourine. Everybody want to do a round of applause for this bitch being gone? No?
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Let's do it.
Frankie Fran has been avenged.
Oh, shit. No. He asked me. Now, you shut up about Frankie Fran. Lord Jesus. I'm like, see, Jill Farren Phelps, you see, if you had just done right, this boy wouldn't have been going on and on about that damn Frankie Fran.
Say that for 15 years almost.
Bad shit. You know, it is kind of a bitter pill to swallow. It's like, after the massacre that this trick has done, she has maimed soap. She is the soap maimer. Anytime you hear Jill Farren Phelps is walking on, like if you hear something like, you know, Jill Farren Phelps was spotted at Days of Our Lives, you're like, oh, Lord, kiss that show goodbye.
She goes, kill Marlena. And you grandma, know, without, see, my horse is already dead. But I laughed about that. I'm like, okay. I kind of visualized if she goes to another soap. If she goes to Days, she'll kill off all of the rest of the Hortons.
She went to Y&R.
Y&R, Nikki would be dead. I'm sorry.
During that time period when Jeannie Cooper was sick, she would have fired her. Mm-hmm. Because that's what she did to Anna Lee. After Wendy Reich had promised that Anna Lee would have a lifetime contract with that show, very much how Ken Corday said that with Francis Reed, which he honored. Good boy, Ken. You know, we might clown you about certain stuff, but he said she would work there to the day, you know, she died, and she did. That is what Wendy Reich promised Anna Lee. The moment Wendy Reich left and Jill came in, she fired at 90.
Jill dropped it so cold. Jill was like, bitch, I ain't promise you that.
Brad Maul, Stuart Damon, Christina Wagner, Jacqueline Zeman, all of these beloved people made DH the hit show that it was. This woman got rid of during her tenure at this show. Yeah, Guza gets a lot of blame as the writer, but you can't do anything as a head writer without
the permission
and leadership of the executive producer.
You saw what she did to Jeannie Francis.
You saw what she did to Another World, and she was only there for like a season, and she killed Ryan and Frankie. I mean, she, two of the most popular characters on the show. She, in one season, she dealt that show. That was two of the show's biggest couples at that time. Yeah. It was boom, you know. You saw what she did to God in Life.
Thank now, you. Oh, Lord, yep. Mel. Hit it, Mel.
Killed my Marie Bauer. She killed her.
You know. Shut up. She raped Eden Campbell.
Oh, yes, I was going to say that.
Santa Barbara, this woman is a destructive force.
She is psychotic. I'm sorry. I'm going to put it there. This is a women's genre. You would think if your boss, You know, damn the head writer is a dude. You would think since the executive producer is a woman, she would cut for women, not that mess. No. She cuts for the boys. And that's why, you know, on Twitter I was like, what if her ass goes to Y&R? I'm like, no, Sony ain't stupid. I'm like, CBS ain't crazy. I'm like, no.
I have never, like, I'm going to be honest. I'm done saying Maria Arena Bell needs to be fired because, it'd be just how I look. Mm-hmm. That tramp would walk her way into that show. You know, I can't deal with Jill. Jill?
Mel?
Yeah,
Bridget I ask Jerome you. Dobson ought to be doing a dance here in Atlanta.
Stand it up,
Mel. I want to also ask you though, because she had some defenders. One of which was James Franco.
James Franco, you know. How long you been trying to do the soap game thing? About 2 years. Well, once you put in about 20 or so, come and talk to everyone else, because we have watched Jill Farron fuck up show after show after show. Jamie says it best. She mortally wounds them, and then she moves on.
She's never there at the end. Have you noticed that? She's never there.
Listen, she's a surviving bitch.
The show gets canceled, but she, when you trace what, every time you, if you go back to when people say, what killed the XYZ show? It's always Jill Farron, folks, is the executive producer. Maureen Bauer. We've gotten like never got over Maureen Bauer's death. Who did that? Jill Farron Phelps. You know, Santa Barbara never got over losing the Dobsons. Ooh, who did they replace the Dobsons with? Jill Farron Phelps. Santa Barbara, another world never survived losing their last super couple, Ryan and Vicky and Cass and Frankie. Who did that? Jill Farron Phelps. GH never survived losing, won't survive losing the Quartermains. Who killed the Quartermains? Jill Farron.
You know, and it's like I said it on Twitter. I'm like, you know, James Franco, shut up. Go talk to Brad Maul. Go talk to Stuart Damon. Go talk to Jeannie Francis, because I know Jeannie don't want to say it, but we all know who it is. When she said, after she had that second kid, some executive producer came up to her and opened her coat and was like, you need to lose some weight. It's like, well, you are not no beauty queen. Hush your mouth. Hush it. Like
Mike Myers playing his mama-in-law on Saturday Night Live. How you going to tell Jeannie Francis how she need to look?
I'm curious. Like,
That friendship right there, I'm going to tell you. That friendship of Brian Franz, Jill Farron Phelps, Chuck Pratt, Bob Guza. I liked Guza as a head writer. Yes, I did. But that dysfunctional friendship has done so much damage to daytime. It traces all the way back, you know, well, Guza and Pratt were boys from USC. But then, you know, they all worked together at Santa Barbara when they snatched it away from the Dobsons. You know, and they've just they were all there together, and they've been cutting for each other and getting each other jobs, and then now stabbing each other in the back. I'm like, look at here, ain't it funny? I guess Guza want to call them up and say, how you like it now? Because, you know, they threw him under the bus, and, you know, that friendship did more damage soap operas than anything else.
It's like they wanted to compete to see who could kill a show fast enough. You know what I mean?
No, they all really thought they knew what they were doing. I will say that. You see a lot of this, oh, Brian intended to do this. No, what I hear, Brian really loved soaps. I know that sounds crazy, but
it
no.
Does.
Just really had no fucking instincts whatsoever, yet they were continued to be hired. You know, Brian had a lot of hits in terms of big hits that would get him, you know, The View became water cooler under him, so that was a big feather in his cap that allowed him to do more destructive stuff. You know, the All My Children, One Life to Live, multi-soap baby swap with Bianca's Baby and Babe's Baby and Kelly Kramer, which was a ratings hit for the network at the time. You know, he did that. He told Susan, what's her face? I mean, he told Sally Sussman Moreta to make the family black on Generations. So he's very smart to put his PR kit together with his hits, but it doesn't talk about the myriad of misses.
Let's talk about a hit, though. Ron and Frank are headed to General Hospital. I'm very excited about the news, and on Twitter I was asking people which one. Obviously, we want Ron to focus on rebuilding the characters that are there, but I couldn't help but speculate as to which of my favorite One Life to Live characters I would love to see show up in General Hospital on General Hospital in Import Charles. If you had one character that you'd like to see, hypothetically speaking, who would you like to see make the jump, Mel?
Either Taya or Blair, and I would probably say Taya in this case. So yeah, she could go over there and snap that PCPD up. Go get him, Taya.
Yes, Taya was who I picked as well. Jamie?
I actually am in agreement with that. I know this will make a lot of fans angry, but the first thing I thought, the core online GH fans are going to try to destroy me, but wouldn't Taya Delgado and Sonny Corinto
No, they won't!
I don't care about
Jennifer to come in and clean it up, because that's what I'm excited about. Ron writes a police department that actually solves crime.
Nobody wants Sonny to pay for no crimes but you. I want them two sexy Latinos to tear it up. But I'm going to be honest. That's, you know, since Mel picked her, but yeah, that would be hot. I would love for Kristen Alderson to come over. Not as star. Mm-hmm. But I would want her to come over as Serena Baldwin.
I said that I lied to her.
That's what I'm saying too. Yeah. She'd be great.
I would like for her to come out and play a bitch nasty heiress Serena Baldwin. And for them to bring Ken Schreiner back as Scotty. And I would love for Scotty to be trying to take down the mob as his daughter falls in love with Michael Corinthos and starts scheming.
Fantastic. You know,
and I would want her to be that, like, kind of like Abby on Young and the Restless, that spoiled, bitch, nasty, rich girl. Because, I mean, didn't Dominique leave that girl $200 million? So, by inflation, she ought to be a billionaire by now. Well, I don't know. With the hedge fund crisis, she might be wiped out.
I said that online. I said, Christine, I would say that, but I would actually want her to come back to Rec Shop with Lulu, be pissed as hell that Lulu killed her brother, and just go to work on Lulu's ass.
You didn't even know that boy.
What? So what? They're still family? So what? I just want her to do that because Lulu gets on my nerve. So
I mean, and it's also classic soap. I mean, Bobby and Scotty, you know, harkening back to when GH blew up. Mm-hmm. Bobby Spencer brought her brother Luke to town to bust up Laura and Scotty because she was lusting for Scotty. Well, wouldn't it be cool if Serena, who is Scotty's daughter, comes back and sets her sights on Bobby's grandson? Of course, I'd like Bobby to be back, too. And now, that's the one thing that I first thought of with Rod. Rod loves divas.
I know. I cannot wait to see the cat fights.
I hope we get our Jackie Zemans and our Lynn Herrings back. You know,
Monica versus Tracy in a cat fight would be fantastic.
Well, the thing of it is, for me, it's like, oh, you think Monica and Tracy? You should have seen Monica and Lucy.
Oh, well, Lucy's a given. Lucy Coe coming back and the nurse's ball. I will forgive Ron from Star-Crossed Lovers if he brings back the nurse's ball.
The thing of it is with me, and it doesn't even have to be, because they got so much work to do with GH that I know that there's not time to bring back everybody and tell these, but Ron has proven with what he did with what he does with Alex Olenoff when she comes back, what he does with Cord and Tina, that he doesn't even need a lot of time to tell a satisfying story. And it just makes me sad, because I'm gonna be honest, one person I'd love to come back now is Vanessa Marcel, Gia Ganicio, because I'm like, well, maybe now we could get a good Brenda return, because
well, and the thing that you and I were talking about offline, and that you pointed out to me and was very reassuring, is that unlike One Life to Live, which shot really far in the future, General Hospital doesn't. So there's a lot of there. Pardon me.
Yeah, GH shoots closer to air date than.
So there will hopefully be time for us to see drastic changes quite quickly once Ron
takes
the
over. Here's the timeline, because it's, you know, they're under the gun. I mean, you know, they're going to be chewing antacids and popping Xanax and everything else, because they start in January. Mm-hmm. Let's just say, best case scenario, their stuff starts airing February, you know.
They have till April 1st, basically.
Yeah.
That's what we found out.
You know, I mean, they're going to have 2 to 3 months to really get in there and tell better story. Now, it's been done before. Gloria Monty had 5 to 6 months to turn that show around. And not only did she turn it around, she took it to the top. She took it from the bottom of the Nielsen's, about to be canceled, to the top. So, yeah, it's a different time and... Yeah,
different situations, because, yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm. But ABC, but GH was slated to be canceled, so that's very similar. Now, what isn't similar is, from, you know, according to legend, ABC told her, here, spend as much money as you want, do whatever you need. They're not going to get that kind of.
Well, you know, I don't have a problem.
Sweeney says, there's no checkbook.
I don't have a problem with that, because we all know, you give Frank a quarter, yeah, Frank will give you a change back.
Frank,
so.
Yeah, Frank,
all I'm asking for Frank is, please give us scenes that do not involve the night on the docks or in a warehouse or in an alley. I'm so sick of it being dark in Port Charles.
Oh, fall back. I don't mind
I
that.
I just want light, daylight.
I want all
those. Cross lovers. I see we
I
don't
want
have
those,
that.
I want those Laura bots gone. I want all the blonde nothings that they have hired in the last 4 or 5 months.
Pimp Maxie.
Oh, I would rather have Maxie off screen as a character than to be putting
out. I want a serial killer who hate blondes to come to Port Charles and just start wrecking shop. Monica, you go on to a medical convention that week.
Yeah.
I want
like,
new,
what are we
Kate,
on, Monica?
New Kate, new Coke, and all of them. That new doctor. I can't tell the difference between every time.
You can't tell the difference between the doctor and Kate.
I'm like, what? Did y'all get them at a 2-for-1 sale?
Yeah, it's like, is the casting director still there? Because
I haven't heard anything about Mark Teshner leaving, but
I didn't like Mark Teshner, because you know Teshner always on the money when he picks people. This is
it's a marriage between the writer and you know, I mean, if Garen Wolfke is sending him here. Yeah, you know, character breakdowns. Here, I need what's a blonde bimbettes. I mean, you know.
Well, to be fair, hasn't Mark Teshner presided over a bunch of the Brenda bots too? Though, I mean,
yeah.
What he said though, like if your boss comes to you with a breakdown and says, "Look,"
yeah, because we know that the Brenda bots were because Guzu couldn't get over her being gone. So
exactly.
Every time he had a new role, it was like. Let's make her olive-skinned with dark hair. So I just
realized I didn't make sure I asked. Jillian, was it Taya who you wanted to come or someone else?
It was. Well, you know, I wanted Taya, and I also wanted Kristen. What Jamie said was pretty much verbatim, but I just wanted Kristen to come as Serena to wreck shop on Lulu and then fall in love with one of her kinfolk. But my only thing is, it's like, you know, they play so fast and loose with the age difference. Serena's supposed to be Lulu's age, if not older. And we all know Kristen looks her age. You know what I mean? So.
Marcy Rowland, younger the rest is.
Yeah, shit.
And yeah. AJ Demira on Days was born when Will was 10 years old. And
I actually remember seeing EJ.
I just said they play fast and loose, so whatever.
Talk about Days of Our Lives.
Come back to be 40. As long as it's a good story.
Let's talk about Days for a bit. Soap Opera Digest was saying they spotted Brian DeTillo on the set. Jamie, that would be a good development if he would end up coming back.
That is the Rodney
Dangerfield. I told me to tell y'all, he left some pictures in his dressing room. He was. That's why he was there. Now, that would be great. You know, they need Lucas back. He can tell his mama, take this blue feather out of your hair. But no, that'll be good because, you know, Will's got the big coming out. I'm coming out. I like the world to know storyline. So, so you know, they need his daddy there.
He is the Rodney Dangerfield of soaps, boy.
He can't get much respect. But maybe, yeah. You know, I would love for them to keep him around. But I'm going to be honest, and this is, and I love him as a person, but I would so kill off Rafe. I mean, that would be such a good story for Sammy. Like, Rafe, I would actually, you know, look, we were talking about Maureen Bauer. I would actually crib that, because as much as everybody hated that death, it was a dramatic, good storyline.
In terms of, Mel riles up, boy.
No, but I'm just saying, I would have Rafe find out about Sammy and Thang, EJ sleeping together, and get mad and storm out into the night and die. Because
and then the next thing you know, his body's found, and everybody wonders who killed him.
No, I just, it wouldn't even be all that. No,
dead in the car,
I just have him walk out in the middle of the street, not paying attention, and boom, Chelsea Brady is back, boom. Because, and she'd be like, damn, not again. She's talking on the phone to Abby. Hey, girl, I'm back in town. Yeah, what you doing? Boom! Was that a deer? Please don't let that be Sierra.
She was so retarded.
That can't drive. She run over folks. Look, she ain't supposed to run over babies. Boom! Oh, was that a puppy?
Oh my God. Jillian, the fallout from Rafe and EJ having sex and Will finding out.
You just made every look, Daddy, boy, now that would make days number one, I tell you.
Pardon me. The fallout from EJ and Sammy having sex is impacting Rafe. What do you think of how it's happening?
I like the fallout. You know, I'm not tripping like how everybody, some people have been tripping, saying it's so controversial how they slept together. No, it's not. I don't find it controversial at all. The only difference is I would have liked it for Sammy just to have been, she just couldn't help herself. It wasn't because the little one-eyed boy, you know, disappeared. She just couldn't help herself. I just had to get some EJ because she still had feelings for him. It's playing out well. Daze is doing their thing, you know. Other soaps need to pay attention, Maria. You need to pay attention to what these shows are doing, just scrapping them crapola that you got and just starting from scratch, so to speak.
Well, she seems to be doing that a little bit. I will say that
Weinar improved this week.
Weinar is watchable again. That's not, we've gone from Weinar is the bomb to Weinar is watchable is about as all, you know. About the only compliment it can be given. But, it, you know, it's not terrible anymore.
Now, Jamie, on Twitter, did I see you say something about the website storyline beginning to brush up against Touch the Sky?
Yeah, I don't like stories where teenagers are not being teenagers. I mean, let's see Abby, more of Abby dealing with majoring in journalism and trying to, you know, following in the pressure of following in her parents' footsteps. And, you know, Chad trying to balance his life being a Demera. And I just don't like grouped up. I hate those stuff because it's not realistic. None of them are Mark Zuckerberg and those twins. And so, but, you know, they're not that smart. We haven't seen anything about any of them that makes us think they're the next Zuckerberg. I'm like, and then, you know, and now to have this gambling storyline and, you know, and I'm sitting here, I mean, Luke, you and I run a website. If somebody starts putting a bunch of stuff on your website, you just delete it and flag it and you delete the profiles. I'm like, all this faux intrigue about these people running. I'm like, and so next week, I guess the gamblers are going to kidnap nobody. Look, no mobsters are going to kill a try to kidnap people from a startup website because they take the site down and prevent them from gambling on it. That's so dumb. You know, I'm loving the Days reboot, but yeah, they need a consultant who is like 25 or under to help them write a young adult storyline because that's stupid. I'm like, get this mess off of here. Yeah, and it reminded me of that Touch the Sky where next thing you know, Jeremy Horton has the money to start an airline and he has all the girls dressing up like sluts on the airline, and then the mob takes over that. I'm like, ugh, just stop those dumb stories. Go back to Bo and Hope and Pete and Melissa. You know, just angsty stories of the rich girl and the mullet-haired bad boy falling in love and their families being against it and Doug having a heart attack when he walks in on Bo about to snuff Hope. You know, just go back to that. We don't need these dumb plots where, they're going to start a... And I can understand, I get what they're trying to do because they're trying to make the show relevant. Oh, websites are in. No. Just tell a story. Just tell a classic, good old-fashioned, romantic, suspenseful story with young adults. Not, you don't need all that.
Well, Mel, mm-hmm. on Twitter, mm-hmm. One little piggy went to market.
Damn, you be on Twitter like a chicken hawk.
What do you think of the Todd Tomas investigation?
Tomas!
All right, that's Taya. This is Blair and Todd Tomas.
Tomas.
Oh, Lord. He wasn't saying it like that before. Now he's saying it.
Because that's how Roger does. Roger's very good with imitations. Like, he, when he first came on One Life to Live, he would imitate Cassie when she would be like, Todd, I love you. He is damn funny as hell. That's what I'm glad they got that back.
As much as I love Blair and Todd, Tomas put it on Blair and that love. She said caliente, salsa, empanadas, and everything else.
He did. He blew that back out. It's like, yeah. Todd, ooh, Todd, what?
You see, he missed it, and she don't know where she is. She like, Tomas, where you at? You didn't call me.
Tomas, yet.
Can't get it put on her like that since that crazy ass lawyer Eli, boy, when they tore up that hotel room.
Yeah,
that
wasn't his back.
That was some hot stuff.
Those two ups, one side the wild and down the other. Yeah.
Well, what did you think of Thanksgiving and Matthew coming waking up, Mel?
You know, the Thanksgiving
came months ago. Oh, sorry.
I enjoyed the Thanksgiving episode, and then it ends, you know, with the cliffhanger at the end. On a Wednesday of all days, they're going to make you wait 5 days.
I was like,
flatlining. You're like, what?
The day I died.
That slick was slick. A lot of people online were hot, boy. I'm like, Rod, boy, I hope you could be Jackie Joyner Kersee in the streets
like they just
of Paul Lewis.
Slid it on in there. Was like, okay, that's all you get. Really go right there. And I was like, what?
So the events were hot. That was good.
Monday comes on, and then, you know, we bring Matthew back and he's alive and so on and so forth. I was just happy that Matthew wasn't dead because I feel like it would be an extreme waste to get rid of Eddie Alderson before the end because Eddie Alderson is the bomb. Can we see more of him, please? So I enjoyed.
Well, he's going to have about, what, a month and a half to come to grips with being a father?
Make it do what it do.
I'm serious.
Well, he came to grips pretty quick. He told his mama, why the hell you have a kid this baby now? I'm tired of this girl.
He was like, it was just a hit it and quit it, man. Damn.
Jillian, Patty's back in town, causing trouble on Y&R.
Well, she's been in town, but whatevs.
What are you thinking of how that storyline is once again playing out with Crazy Patty?
I mean, you know, I love me some Crazy Patty, but her wearing some tablecloth over her face in public without no one being like, who the hell is this hoe? You know, it's kind of, you know, Maria getting a little kooky booky with that mess. You know what I'm saying? It's, I mean, we all know why Patty is there. It's because, you know, I believe you know, 86 Diane's ass and framing my Nikki, you slick bitch, you. But, I mean, I just don't like her slurking around with some doily over her face. It's like, it's stupid. It really is stupid. And I mean, I know Genevieve has been living in, you know, Australia and whatnot, but hasn't anybody shown her a picture of Patty? That's my only.
I know you keep saying that. Why do you think that when new people come to town, like there's a moment where someone says, "Oh, let me show you pictures of the town full of psychos"?
Yeah, like maybe Jack will have a picture around or something.
Why would he keep a picture of Patty?
By accident, fall back. Let me finish. I'm just saying, by accident, something like a
no.
New
article. Why would somebody be showing this whole, like, okay, here's Patty, here's Sheila Carter, here's David Kimball. Like, somebody brings out a photo album.
This is Matt Clark. It's on
the website as you're driving into Genoa City, all the faces of the villains.
Yeah, like, I don't think that'd be the first thing I would do.
I'm not gonna finish, but whatever. I mean,
Sheila Carter has two faces.
Oh, shut up. Don't even bring that up. Ugh. I'm just saying, like, someone may, you know, they may have ran a story about Patty or something. Ain't they looking for that bitch's ass?
She been too busy biting people's lips and pushing them off parapets and trying to steal those little egg babies from of Max and everything. And she's been a little busy in the 3 months this year, 3 or 4 months she's been in town to sit around and
they have wanted posters up for Patty. Ain't they still looking for that bitch and nobody? You know what I mean? That's just my gripe.
At the post office?
Stupid.
They probably got a mail. You know, they probably got a post at the post office, but I doubt if it's all over Genoa City proper.
Mel, someone who's been busy getting drunk is Nikki.
Oh, yes. I was so excited that she is still, and now she's just not a little drunk. She is all the way completely fall over. I can't walk anymore. I'm pissing myself on the way to the bathroom drunk. And I love it because Melody Thomas Scott is showing out. It's like they said, here's the bottle. Here's your chinchilla. Go. And she just went and did it. And those scenes between Victor and Nikki in the barn, oh my God, it felt like classic Victor and Nikki because it just didn't matter. You know, Nikki's like, I killed him. He keeps trying to take the bottle away from her. And she's like, no, Victor, I need this right now. Leave me alone. So let her have the bottle. And
she is like swelling you in drunk. I thought that was fucking
I
hell.
Loved it. So then she passes out because she's just so drunk. And Victor covers her up and she's like, he's drunk to save his Nikki. He's giving up everything to save his Nikki.
That shit that's love.
I'm giving all the props to Melody Thomas Scott. I got to give props to Eric Braden, too, because his scenes when he was pretending to be drunk with Ronan, awesome.
Oh, Melody Thomas Scott was like, yeah, you miss me? And what? She just came back to let you know I'm back, bitches. She did the damn thing in that bar. I don't know. I thought it was reminiscent to Suella just being cold, just cuckoo drunk when she'd be roaming around the South Fork like a... I was like, damn, I'm like, who've been watching Soaps Dallas? That was funny.
Let's see. Who watches primetime soaps from the 80s? Who worked on them? Cough, Hamner.
I mean, it was funny as hell, but next week, I'm going to give you a little taste. That damn Deacon blackmails my Nikki, and it seems like he blackmails her into marriage, child.
Ooh. Oh, cannot wait.
Damn. Ooh. But, you know,
Deacon is getting married.
But, you know, it's like the way they're doing it, it makes you wonder, you know, is Deacon out for Nikki's money or does he actually love her? I mean, we'll probably figure it out in the first 5 minutes because, you know, this regime.
Deacon needs to go back to Los Angeles, California, and help his virgin daughter against that beast, Steffi. That's what, daddy needs to come help Steffi, Hope, by seducing Steffi and getting it on tape and showing it at a Forrester fashion show.
Well, she does. Steffi does like older men, and she was zeroing in on Bill once again.
Oh, well, apparently.
Much to Katie's chagrin.
She's doing that again, huh? Nasty hoe.
What are your thoughts on that, Jamie?
Well, Bill is nasty too. He, you know, Bill is trying to do the Joe Kennedy, Jack Kennedy thing. You know, legend has it that Joe Kennedy slept with Marlena Dietrich, that she was one of his mistresses, and so Jack, when he came of age, he was like, I got to get it too. You know? And so I'm like, y'all just passing Stephanie around like a play toy. Steffi, not Stephanie.
That would be something.
That would be a storyline. That'd put that show back on the map. But, I would do Stephanie and Nick. I know everybody's like, no, I would have. They had good chemistry. I would have had Nick and Stephanie doing it.
Big but, Stephanie?
Yes, I would have. I sure would have. I would have had it. Just, you know, look. Sally Spectra had Clark, so why can't...
I never said nothing. Oh, fall back. I never said
nothing. No, I'm just thinking about it. It's actually not half bad.
Why Stephanie got to be stuck with old Eric?
Well, Eric likes younger women, that's for sure.
Yeah, Stephanie needs, you know, and Nick prancing around in his drawers for Pam. Why couldn't he do it for Stephanie? But, and that could have been a good spring to finally deal with Stephanie's, frigidity and stuff. And you just imagine, you know, Ridge finding out that his half-brother was banging his mama.
No,
what's going on, mother? You're sleeping with...
He'd probably strangle himself with one of his scarves.
And then Brooke, Stephanie...
Oh, get it, girl.
You've been judging me, and you're no better than me, Stephanie. And then Taylor come in acting all like a black woman. Because that's one thing I have noticed with Hunter Tylo's acting choices lately. She be rolling her neck and stuff.
Shit. Her name,
Aquanisha Johnson. What are you doing, Stephanie? Girl. I'm like, you act more black than Daisy.
Yeah, hell.
Well, what do you think of the stealing of design storyline? That's reheating.
Oh, my Lord. Same thing I thought about it for the last 25 years of that show. When are the forces going to get some better security?
I'm serious.
The Spectres have been stealing their designs for 25 years. It's like, that story is a little played out. I'm like, and it doesn't, and they, that's, B&B is the type of show, it's almost episodic, because whatever, sometimes the past doesn't even matter. Okay, Nick fired Amber for doing the exact same thing when she came back to town and shamed her. Why did you do this? When she stole the Forrester designs inspired by Sally's legacy. And it's like, now they're like, woohoo! I'm like, okay. They regurgitate stuff on that show a little too much for my liking. I'm like, I do not believe the Forresters are still that dumb. Like, if I was Eric, nobody would see those designs but me and Ridge until they were ready to go. Because every time, now, you know, I guess they wouldn't think Pam would sell them out, but it's like, every Thorne sold them out.
Well, if she's off her meds, she would.
Remember when Thorne sold them out? Thorne went over to Spectra one time. So basically, yeah. If I was Eric, I would be like, bitch, ain't nobody looking at my dresses until the last day. And what about a confidentiality agreement where he can sue somebody? I don't know. It's just, yeah. I mean, but it may, you know, and it's predictable. It's been done over and over and over again. And I'm sorry. I'm just not a fan of Jackie M, that whole storyline. I would scrap Jackie M and I would keep Jackie and then make her become a bombshell tell-all novelist.
I don't know why they don't have her boutiques. She had friggin' boutiques.
Oh, I love
Well, I would have her write a tell-all novel about the Forresters. I'd have her get pissed at Stephanie and write a tell-all and make it a tie-in. You know, like they used to do with those As the World Turns books. I'd have her write a fictional account of the Forresters about how a girl from the valley screwed her way into the family and about all the scandals and fictionalize it. And, you know, and then it'd be the shock of the century. Because, you know, her name is Jackie. So they could play on Jackie Collins.
I missed that. So. I just don't understand why they don't do that. I never got why they scrapped the boutiques. I would have liked them to keep the boutique part in and, like, I don't know, maybe Bill have a fashion house and they would just be like, you know, fighting for space inside that.
See, Bill, you know, they just, some of the business stories on B&B are getting a bit wonky. Bill owns a communications company, yet I'm like, what does he do but wear ugly clothes? I'm like, you know, I'm like, Ion Fashion there's so many fashion-based business stories that could be, you know, I mean, they could follow, take a page from Condé Nast, and, you know.
Well, I get why Bill is going, you know, why Bill is mixed up with the Forlisters, because, which is stupid. It's, I get it, because, but it's stupid. Like, he's mad at them because he couldn't be with Steffi, but it's like, how be mad at your wife? She gave you the ultimatum. Yeah. You were the
one.
No,
the real reason he wanted to take on Forrester was because of his father, because his father loved Stephanie and always wanted to destroy Eric. Yeah. But, I mean, that's what brought it, you know. But it's like, they could come up with more clever ways for him to do that, like always trashing their clothes and on his, you know, on a website, you know, on a, you know, like a fashion website, you know, this is, it's not modern. It's really, they don't really, they haven't modernized. I mean, in fashion, I mean, they really need to take a page from Gossip Girl with what they're doing on that show this season with the whole, the spectator storyline with the chick coming to town, Elizabeth Hurley, you know, as a publishing mogul who wants to take down Gossip Girl because Gossip Girl is ruining their newspaper because everybody's going online to read. I mean, that is realistic. Hello, we know that. But, you know, it's like, but these stories are just so outdated with this, you know, Eye on Fashion magazine. And I'm like, let's hip this stuff up a little bit. And I mean, fashion is still so hot. And that's why I guess it frustrates me with B&B sometimes, because it's like, I'm like, does anybody there watch Project Runway or any of the fashion-based shows, Scouted, the new one, or any of the fashion-based shows that are out there? Because this show doesn't feel like any of that. It just, it feels like it's kind of stuck in 1987 with, you know, these outdated fashion stories and people still in design. It's like, come on, it's 2011, and I like Bold and the Beautiful, but I'm like, get this show hip, get it sexy again, you know, get it, you know, get it, make the people look like, you know, I thought they said that Brad Bell's wife was gonna start making these people dress right, you know. I'm just like,
I would just like to point out that Maria Rena Bell considers herself a bit of a fashion. We see what happens there.
Look, I can honestly tell you, Maria Rena Bell has nothing to do with the Bold and the Beautiful.
I know, but sometimes in that family, people who consider themselves fashionistas does not.
Look, if Maria try to knock on the door, hey, Brad, I got an idea. Get out of here! No.
Well, as we're wrapping up this podcast, I want to go out around the circle and do one final thought from get one final thought from each of you on Ron and Frank at GH. If you have any final thoughts, Jamie, you first.
My final thought is, at the very least, we should be in for a sad. You know, at the worst case scenario, we'll get a much more satisfying end to General Hospital than we would have gotten with Garen Wolf. At the best case scenario, I hope these boys will turn it around and ABC will actually, I hope they turn it around and that ABC will care, because they turned One Life to Live around ratings wise and it was still like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. You know, join us in watching fat people cry on the revolution. So,
Jillian, sorry.
No, I hope that if they do a rating spike similar to what they did on One Life, that ABC will say, maybe we should keep this show.
Jillian?
Mob Cross Lovers. Let me stop. Yep.
Listen, I maintain he could redeem Star-Crossed Lovers.
Ain't nobody talking about you, Luke. Jeez, that was just a joke.
She said Mob Crossed Lovers.
I know.
Well, what? It ain't about you, boo. Look, my final thought is, I'm glad, you know, it is bittersweet that Jill Farron fuck up is gone. You know, it's bittersweet, but I'm really hoping that the One Life boys come in and just wreck shop, because they have a lot of things against them. You know, I feel like we should be playing some Phil Collins right now, against all odds. They got that all. They have a lot against them. You know, a lot of people, I see a lot of people shitting on them coming there. It's like, look, y'all say we are negative. Some of y'all are negative. Just watch the show. I mean, it hasn't even aired yet, and you already have people, oh, my God. It's like, give me a break. They haven't aired it yet. They may, I don't know, surprise you. Just watch it so you can just keep your shows on the air. Isn't that what we're all trying to do?
Well, some people do just want to come. You know, there is a segment of the soap fandom that just wants to be unhappy. I have just figured that out. And I can be pessimistic, but sometimes when I'm like, Lord, when I'm all up, it's like, oh, my God, this is going to be horrible. I've seen, you know, oh, it's good to be so gay now.
Yes.
Watching soaps are not, I mean, this is counterproductive, but it's not a require. I mean, it's not like you have, like, selective service when you're 18 and a male. You don't have to register. I mean, if you just want to hate everything, you can just turn them off, you know? Oh, it's going to be terrible. Run. Oh, it's going to make it so gay. And it'll be gay people saying this. Jillian and I were talking about this. I'm like,
yes,
gay and you saying it's going to be too gay. What does that even mean? Hell, Dynasty was the gayest television show in America, and it was a hit. I mean,
I don't get that at all. It's like,
well,
Bravo is not doing too bad being too gay. I'm like, you know.
Maybe they could bring Lucas back. Mel, your thoughts?
I completely trust Frank and Ron to go over to General Hospital, you know, clean things up, because that show, it does need help. Even from 6 months ago, it needs help. So, and Buddha. From watching One Life to Live, as long as I have, I think I've been watching.
It needs to run.
I've been watching One Life to Live for over 2-3 years, something like that. It's been a while. And the show is consistently good. The writing, tip-top shape. The direction, everything else, tip-top shape. And I trust Frank and Ron to go over to General Hospital and do the same thing. Like, when I heard they were going on there, I was like, okay, I feel better about this show. Even if it is, hopefully it's not, you know, for them to make it in a nice little kind of a bow. I mean, they can do it.
Triangles will be back. Quadra angles will be back. You know, Ron writes I think he's a dramedy writer more than a soap opera writer, because, you know, he definitely, you know, is kind of like the Desperate Housewives type soap dish, soap, the TV show Arrested Development. He's in that vein, in my opinion. Santa Barbara. And GH used to have that with the Quartermains. I mean, my God, the Quartermains were the most comical soap family ever. I mean, they always had that infusion of, now the trick will be, hell, I mean, there ain't that many Quartermains left, but, and yeah. I'm going to say this, and I am going to, yes, I am, it's a blogger's prerogative to change their mind. I don't like Returns from the Dead.
Oh, say it, honey. I know where you going.
Rod figures out a way to do them, and you groan a little bit, but then the payoff is good. Come in first thing and reveal that Jake is not dead.
I thought he was going Stuart Damon.
No, I thought he was going to be like, don't bring Emily back, because I'm like,
no, I don't want Emily back. But my first worry would be that Franco faked Jake's death. He found some other baby to give Jocelyn those organs, and that he has Jake. You do that your first couple of weeks in that show, that will be, think about it. And I'm not just saying that as a liaison fan. I'm saying
that would be a shocker.
You bring that baby, if Lucky brings that baby home to Elizabeth and Jason, and the Quartermains get to be involved, and Luke realizes that he didn't run over his, that right there is almost a reset button for all of them.
Gonna say, like, don't bring Emily back. They
bring Jake back from the dead. Say that baby didn't die. Or heck, if you have to, I will be real here. I would, if I didn't do it that way, I would have Liz wake up. Like, I would have her wake up and Jake bound into the room and she hug him and go, mommy's had the worst, horrible. Nightmare ever.
You know what I would do? I would make it, I would rig it so Franco was the one that killed Jake, because I think they've just Luke is just not irredeemable at all. I don't care if he, you know, ran that other baby to the hospital the other day to save him. He's just irredeemable. Hey, like,
you know what, AJ? They faked Michael's death once beautifully. Remember when Tamara brought Carly and they found pictures of Michael's little red head dead, and it was AJ. They need to do that again with Franco and Jake. Bring him back from the dead. Bring Jake back from the dead. Don't kill Robin. Let Robin and Patrick. I'm going to go here. I love you, Jason Thompson, but if Kimberly is leaving, bye. You can go too. But we don't need Patrick without Robin. Give them a happy ending and send them off together with that little baby. You know, don't kill Robin.
I mean, we don't know what's happening. We're just speculating because, you know, I've had a lot of people, I know they're not going to kill her off. Well, hell, you do say you do.
No, they don't know what they talk about then, because I've heard from good sources that that is the plan. So, but it can be undone. Don't kill Robin. Send her off to, you know, go back to Paris for treatment with Patrick in tow. And take Maxie with them. And until, you know, and Maxie Maxie's going to go to help with Emma. And, you know, and then Kirsten Storms can come back as Maxie. You know, yeah, take Maxie with this thick hair and these bad roots.
She does. She needs her roots. Let's be real. You know, Kiki always got her roots looking tough.
The roots are bad. Am I watching Melrose Place? You know, I love me some Amanda Woodward, but that was the running joke. Amanda's roots was always bad.
I mean, yeah, like, they need to do that, or they need to woo Kimberly and Jonathan Jackson back. They need Frank. You know, Frank.
I'm gonna be honest. I would love to see Robin stay, but I could deal with this. Lucky could come back for the end.
even if they were going to continue with the writing off the storylines, if they could at least convince the actors to stick around a little bit longer so that they can reset the storylines, the idea of having Franco responsible for Jake and Lucky bringing him back to Elizabeth is fantastic. The idea of keeping Kimberly around long enough to have her written off.
They could say Helena was working with Franco this whole time. You know?
Yeah, and that sets up the Cassadine story. And people love Cassadines versus Spencers.
You love it too much. Let's just be real.
I may love it more than other people, but people still like Cassadine versus Spencer. And so, I mean, if you could keep them around.
Without Laura, that so much of that was built around Laura that it's
and
just
Stephon, big
hole without Laura there. It's like, why?
And they need to end whatever this shit is on the island with Ethan, because it is awful.
And they need to get her back. I mean, we can't mention that without. They need to. Frank needs to cajole Jeannie Francis.
Oh, he needs to pull up.
And Tristan Rogers.
Frank nearly needs to pull a whole move and go wine and dine Jeannie.
And that's another thing. One of the first stories I would do is I would have Ethan eat a bad batch of clams at Sonny's restaurant and have to be rushed to the hospital and need some blood. And need some blood because he's just bleeding from all the bad clams. And you would find out that Luke is not a match and that Robert Scorpio is that boy's daddy. It's a way to undo a lot of the bad stuff.
And you could do it really quick. Yeah. Boom, 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 boom.
You know, can you imagine? Let him get hit by a car. Here come Chelsea Brady.
He passed it to poor child, huh?
That drove over the porch. I was talking on the phone. Hey, Abby, what you doing, girl? Back up!
That is funny. I mean,
but there's a lot. But you're right. There are a lot of really quick things that if Frank and Ron were able to employ the strategy that they did with, say, Tina and Cord, where Tina and Cord are there for 2 weeks, they have a huge impact on the thing, and then they're gone. They could do that with
these Robert and Holly.
Robert and Holly, Anna.
Yeah.
You start going down the list of people. I mean, you might be able to convince. Oh crap! What's her name? Maxie's mother,
Christina Wagner.
Yes, she might be able to come back or something for Maxie.
No, she's been bitten too hard by GH. She just may be gunshot. GH did her dirty.
I realize that, but at the same time, I think that
she at least needs to come back and tell Uncle Mac thank you for raising all my children. Uncle Mac, they just left him.
Well, it's true. I mean, but I think, Jamie, you're very right. Frank or Ron is the person who could do this in a very short amount of time just by doing short stint things, and he could rectify a lot of stuff.
Cut about 10 people from this cast. I'm going to be honest. It's about 10 of them that could go tomorrow.
Amen.
Go.
Oh,
I file off the docs and just don't do an investigation. They just.
And.
You know, so me and a friend of mine, I always laugh about how they wrote off Denise Alexander, how she was popular. But if you when they first wrote off Laura's mama, they just came into the hospital and somebody said, Leslie's dead. She was in a car accident. They didn't even do a scene. They didn't even, you know, it was just like, I'm like, that's what you have to do with these, with times like this. Well, you're going to have time.
Look what they did with Amy. They ain't never said where Amy went.
Yeah, Amy just still in the break room.
Well, but one thing that they could do fast to get GH fans on their side and make a statement about that the show being different would be to rehire Lexi Ainsworth as Christina. If they were to do that,
that'd be smart.
Yeah.
If they were to do that, that would be a sign to the soap fan community online that they are going to have an immediate impact and get her back. She's not been gone that long, but it would be okay.
But
this is a small sign of that things are changing.
When you go in, I'm gonna be honest, Luke. Yeah, that would be great, but Frank need to be on the phone with Lynn Herron. Like, how can I convince you to come off that?
He needs to be on the phone with Jeannie Francis.
She's in a contract, so. But I'm just saying, my first thing would be, who can I get that I don't have to even worry about because they're not on a contract anywhere? You can make fans happy real quick with a Jackie Zeman, Lynn Herron, Christina Wagner return, Rachel Ames. You know, those are people that you can bring back, and you don't even have to tell big stories. I mean, if What's a Face was just there to talk to Liz in scenes, it would mean so much to fans. If you know, because they always talk about Gran is keeping the kids, and I'm like, wait a minute now.
Didn't she retire the actress?
Yeah, but she retired because they refused to use her. So
yeah, Luke, they forced her into retirement.
They said, well, if y'all ain't going to use me, I'm going to just go on to the house. So, I mean, but if they called her back, I'm sure she would come in and, now, Elizabeth, why didn't you stay with that sexy mobster?
No, no, and Grant, she's like, why you didn't close your legs, ho?
No, she, well, because
but at the same time, if she was a return for the scene when Jake is brought back, that would be amazing.
Yeah, oh no, look, just have her come in with Jake. This baby ain't dead. I had him all this time, Elizabeth. Why you ain't come back to get these kids? Because you know, they always talking about they had grands. And I'm like, wait a minute, Grand got to be about 80 now. You mean she keeping a bunch of toddlers?
Yeah.
Hey, Cameron has probably got her tied up.
That little boy is just bad to the bone. That little boy, the bad.
Look, she done fell out of her damn chair. I'm falling and I can't get up. And Cam is like,
you are sick. I mean, you know, this is the time that soap fans need to rally around these people and not poo-poo it. They haven't even come in there yet. You've seen their track record. They like the vets.
Well, another thing, another way that you could possibly do it, if you chose not to do Franco, and you could really set things on fire with the Quartermains, is have AJ be the one who took Jake.
I'd kill Franco off of that Jill Ferrin comment. I'd be spiteful.
But the thing of it is, you know what? I just thought about this. If Rachel Ames don't want to come back, the role of Audrey Hardy is now being played by Erica Slasak.
Oh my God, I just got chills.
See, they didn't hire me. I mean, the fact that I call Bride Fraud's names should not prevent me from getting a job. I'm sorry.
But, you know, you are so...
I have good ideas. So what if I call him a beady-eyed, ball-headed, bespectacled butt sponge?
They, you know, they like the vets. People just need to keep that in mind. They like the vets. They like the vets. I mean, you see a lot of GH...
They like soap operas. They, yes. You know, HBO, you know, they...
reliving their Soprano fantasy. Yeah, they're not reliving their. They're not trying to live out their Soprano fantasies of, yeah, I can make that hot, you know, or watching, I don't know, Spike TV and getting their kicks and, you know. Well,
And something else. I mean, someone suggested this on Twitter, and I think I saw Jillian retweet it. But it wouldn't really be that bad of an idea. I don't like the character personally, but to have John McBain come to Port Charles and have him with Sam would be huge.
I wouldn't mind that. It's just to bring his baby mama to town.
Tired of seeing John McBain. Like, I'm just over it.
I like John McBain. I guess I'm the only.
I am not a fan of John McBain like in him. Any way, shape, or form. In fact, I loathe the character.
Michael Easton, there's no denying that.
Why is everybody always
dogging the man? He's sexy as hell.
I didn't say he wasn't fine because he is, but.
I mean, yeah. Franz is gone. But that's the thing, though. Franz is gone, so he won't have to be overused anymore. Franz was the one who mandated he eat the show. You know, so
I just think that, I mean, if you're really going to, I mean, let's face it, he had Easton and Monaco had chemistry on Port Charles. Bringing him back as a One Life to Live detective who makes the jump would be a good idea in terms of trying to get
with his wife and, I mean, girlfriend and baby. So what, how are we going? That's the thing with
Natalie died in a bus crash.
Oh, it was
like,
no, he could be following some sort of crime to Port Charles. He spent there. You could have him referencing Natalie, and then over time, him and Sam grow close.
Natalie died in a bus crash.
I would rather they bring back Antonio Sabato Jr. as Jack and have Jagger and Sam, you know, because you know I want Jason Elizabeth, but I would love for Jagger to come back and be investigating something. I don't know why, but I just think Kelly Monaco and Antonio Sabato Jr. would sizzle.
Yes, they would.
Put them in a quadrangle. I would have him investigating Jason. You know, he got beef with Jason because, you know, when they were teenagers and stuff, you know, they both liked little Karen. So, you know, but then now Jason is a mobster, and so
his brain is spun.
They've switched. You know, they switched roles because Jagger was a bad boy, and Jason was little goody two shoes in the quarterback. I mean, in the Bill Cosby sweaters. Now Jason is a bad boy, and Jagger is an FBI agent. So you bring Jagger back. You have him investigating Jason and Sonny. He hated Sonny, you know, and then you have him, you know, zeroing in on Elizabeth. I mean, there's a way to, you know, fill the void with Jonathan Jackson, even though, I mean, yeah, Antonio is nowhere near the acting caliber. But, you know, if you have a Jagger, Liz, Sam, Jason quad, I think that
would be hot.
Yes, it would. You got me all excited, boy. That would be bitching. That would be, you know, killer.
I'll tell you how I bring Lucy back. First thing I would do, this is what I would do. Okay, so first things first, with Robin being sick, I would bring Brenda back, and I would have her sneak into town because she don't want Sonny to see her. And there would be a bunch of cloak and dagger of why she doesn't want Sonny to see her. Then she takes off her coat and reveals she's pregnant. And, you know, Robin is like, you're pregnant? Does Sonny know? And she's like, look, I ain't thinking about Sonny. I'm here for you. And then Brenda tries to sneak out of town before Sonny can see her, but he finds out she's pregnant with his child. Then, you know, so there starts that. Kate tries to stick it out a little bit, but she realizes she's never going to be able to compete with Sonny and Brenda and that baby. So she goes to Europe to start Crimson UK. And before she leaves, she hires Lucy Coe to run Crimson in the U.S. Remember Lucy ran Deception? That's a perfect story for Lucy to come back. I would have Kevin come back to be the therapist. For somebody, you know, somebody in GH always needs somebody.
Sonny.
That could actually be fun if they would have Sonny on a therapist couch. That could be fun.
Sam, because, you know, they have her, you know.
Yeah, Lucy and Kevin are back just like that. Bam, bam. Thank you, ma'am. You know,
Crimson was bought out by another publishing company because, you know, they went belly up, and the publishing company happens to be Lucy works for that publishing company.
Or what about Serena's company? I mean, the $200 million, Serena's company could have bought it out.
I would have Serena want, like, be cut off when she comes to town. Like, she's cut off and she's, you know, but there's a clause in the thing that says if she gets married, she, you know, can get her money before she's 25. And so she sets her sight on Michael, but and she hate, I would have her hate Ethan at first sight, but then I would have her and Ethan end up being the ones to get married to get that money.
But doesn't that seem a little bit of a retread?
Yeah.
Ethan and Aya for the $1 million.
We really care about Dominique's money. We didn't care about Maya. I mean, it's already established that he's a grifter. So he's Luke Spencer's son. Scotty would hate that.
Yeah, like she did it to stick it to Scotty because Scotty was the one who had her cut off.
Scotty cut her off because she was over there being a Paris Hilton. And
if Scotty comes back, as long as he's not the crazy Scotty that we saw.
No, Scotty can come back. When Jason kills Franco, Scotty comes back as the special prosecutor planning to put Jason in jail.
Well, folks, there you go. This is how we get General Hospital back in fighting shape, and hopefully its ratings through the roof. We would encourage you to comment on this episode on Twitter at twitter.com/DCConfidential. Follow us as a friend on Facebook, and be sure to leave comments at daytimeconfidential.com.
Check out our new XTube profile.
What is with you, dude? Like, real.
He's probably figured out a way to have Austin Peck's character put a thing on XTube.
If I could, I'd do it.
I will say this. Austin Peck strung up in that hospital bed to this last week was hilarious. On that note, so long.
Bye.
Salutations.
Bye, y'all.